Good afternoon, evening. Night.
Hello.
Hey, it's about what, 9:28 East Coast, 8:28, so we'll give it a couple of minutes to get to the bottom of the hour.
I will try to stay awake.
Are you East Coast?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's late because that would be my bedtime right about
Yeah.
9:30 at night.
I really try most Thursdays, but
I tend to get grouchy when I can't get my sleep. So,
I know.
true.
Oh, I think I lost the call.
You what?
Oh, I thought I lost the call.
Oh, no, you're here.
I got a new iPhone and I don't know how to use it.
Which one did you get?
The new one, the 11.
Oh, my goodness, you did go all out.
I did. And if I don't have my teenage daughter next to me, I don't know what I'm doing.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Sophia, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
The key
I'm
tag.
good. I just made my first batch of homemade chicken noodle soup using my Instapot, and I am so
How did
psyched.
it come out?
Ooh, well, I've added eaten
Good
about three
evening,
bowls.
everyone.
Good
Hey, buddy. How
evening.
are
How
you?
are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Sorry for my tardiness.
That's okay. No, you're right on
No,
time.
you're on time.
Okay. Oh, look at God.
Well, I tell you, isn't it good?
All
Okay.
the
Amen.
All right. Well, Sophia, I would say go ahead and do the opening, and you can even do the opening prayer if you want to do that too, and then we'll jump right in. I don't plan on being 90 minutes tonight. I just think that's a little long this Thursday. So we're going
No
to see what God has
worries.
to say, and then we're going to let everybody go.
Sounds good. Good evening,
Okay.
guys. This is Sophia. So welcome to the SOS conference call, which Lisa, Chris, and myself like to host on Thursday night. So the whole concept of SOS is standing on scripture. It's kind of a little byproduct of RMM and the prayer wall. Lisa, you know, the Lord put it in Lisa's heart a few months ago. Well, geez, almost like more than 6 months ago, to
Yeah.
start this conference call, because there was just so much pain, so many questions, just people, you know, in their journeys. And Lisa, the Lord put it in Lisa's heart to start this conference call, to be able to talk to other individuals who are on the same journey, and just to kind of, you know, talk about the Lord and standing on scripture and encouragement for other people who are, you know, going through a tough time. So that's what SOS, you know, standing on scripture is about. We do have a couple little rules, if you guys would be so kind to check your phones. And while we have, you know, Freddie or Kalanda or anybody that's talking, if you guys would please be so kind to place yourself on mute. And then, you know, if we have time for questions, you can unmute yourself, and that way we can hear you. The only reason why we ask this is because these calls are recorded, and Chris will be posting, you know, this call on the praisereports.org website. And we tend to pick up if you're not muted and you're out at a store, or if you're cooking dinner, or whatever it is you're doing, we can pick up that background noise. So, you know, if you guys can put yourself on mute, we would greatly appreciate it. Another thing that we would like for you guys to do is when you are talking about your spouse, we kindly ask that you do not mention your spouse by name. If you would like to give your first name, that's fine. If you're not comfortable doing so, that's also fine as well. So just keep that in mind, no spouse's name. And I believe that's it. Lisa, am I missing something?
Nope, I was on mute, so you're good.
Okay, so I will open up with prayer, and then Lisa, I will let you take it, you know, from there. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you, Father, for each and every individual that was able to join this call tonight, Father, and every other individual who will be listening to this call in the days to follow, Father. I pray, Father, that you give them an heart, Father, a heart for you, Father, ears to hear you and eyes to see you, Father. Not only be a hearer of the word, Father, but a doer. Seek ye first your kingdom, Father. And I ask, Father, that you search each and every one of our hearts, Lord God. If there is anything, Lord, that is not pleasing in your sight, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you root it out, Father, that you root it out and that you continue to lift us up to be the men and women that you, Father God, have called us to be, Father, for your kingdom. And I ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you. Thank you for everything you have done in each and every one of our lives, Father. Everything that you're about to do, Father, and everything that you're doing right now, Father. I ask this in the beautiful, wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sophia, for all of that. Tonight, so it's interesting how tonight's call came about, and I want to share that with those who have joined tonight. Because to me, there are no coincidences in Christ. And he has a purpose. And so I want to share with you how tonight's call specifically came about so that you'll understand that you being on this call was ordained by God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing these Thursday night conference calls, I would say since about February
March.
Or March, somewhere
mm-hmm.
around there. And Chris and Sophia and myself, we started meeting probably in February, just even planning for the calls. So after, you know, months of these calls, Chris, Sophia, and myself met on yesterday evening, and we said, okay, let's just move to an every other week call. Is that right, Sophia?
Yes, ma'am.
And tonight we were not even really going to have a call. We were actually, Chris was going to come on and just kind of see who joined, if anybody really joined. And you know, I was good with that. We were all good with that. And then I got a text message today from my new good friend, Mrs. Kalanda. And she said, we're planning to join the call tonight. And the Lord would not even allow me to say, oh, we're not going to have a call. We're not going to have a call tonight. And I just instantly felt like, uh-huh, no, you thought you were not going to have a call, but I called you to do a work, and you're going to do this work. So I didn't even say that to her. I reached out to Sophia and Chris and just said, okay, let's start advertising because we're going to have this call tonight. And what the Lord dropped in my spirit is that even if just one person, if one mm-hmm. person joins this call and they walk away feeling encouraged, they walk away knowing that God is real and God has truly called them to stand, to God be the glory. So, And not only that, not just about the standing, but that he's called you to a higher call. Like, he doesn't just call us to stand for the sake of getting our marriages back. That's we've been mm-hmm. saying that for the last 6-7 months. It's bigger than our marriage. And I'm going to share with you. So tonight's topic is, did God really call me to stand? That's our topic tonight. And I'm honored to have Mr. Freddie on, and hopefully his wife. I don't hear her, but I'm guessing she's on as well. And
yes,
she's
I'm
helped
here.
Me. Amen. Good. Well, that's his help me. So I need her on here too. So, but let
yes.
me share a little bit about this. And I want to also preface this with the things that will be said on tonight's call. They're Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit inspired. It is from the Word of God. And so we don't want anybody to walk away feeling like I'm offended because they're telling me not to stand. No, we're not telling anybody to stand or not to stand. But what we want to do is make sure that your stand is backed up, supported by the Word of God, okay? And we don't want you to be, you know, nobody wants to see anybody out here doing something that the enemy wants them to do. And we know that the enemy is never for the things that God has called us to do. So let me share a little bit about myself. And I've shared this before, so it's no secret, but I was a prodigal. I did not want to be in my marriage. I may be sad I did because I was a church girl, and I still am a church girl, but now I'm a Jesus girl. And so I was a prodigal, and when we divorced, getting back together was the last thing on my mind. So if my good friend Robin is on this call, when I say this date, on December 29th, when God took the scales off my eyes and started me on this journey of restoration and standing, from that date until now, not once have I ever doubted that God called me to stand. Now, have I ever not wanted to stand? There's been several times where I've been like, Lord, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. It's too painful. I don't want to do it. But when he calls us to stand, this is what I was sharing with Freddie earlier today. I believe that when God calls us to stand, it's not just about standing, but it's about a place of submission. It's a place of humility. It's a place of obedience. He's calling us to take on the cross like Jesus. Do you think Jesus wanted to do, and we said this before, he didn't want to go to the cross. He said, not my will, but thy will, nevertheless. And so this is a painful journey that you're on. You have to witness your spouse with someone else many times, or your children going off with your spouse and the other person. You have to endure them saying things to you like, I never loved you in the first place, or we are not compatible, or any number of hundreds of things. You know, you're the worst person. You're a nightmare. You're this, you're that. And, you know, I'm happy where I am. I'm in love with who I'm with now. And, you know, you're crazy. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of things that the enemy will put into their minds to say to us. And it makes you get to the point where you start to question, God, did you really call me to stand? So that's what we want to talk about tonight. And I've asked Freddie if he would really speak to this, because I know God uses him in this process, uses him mightily, him and Kalanda. He and Kalanda have a very, I can see that you have a ministry. And just even the way that you speak is very soothing and comforting. I just know that the Holy Ghost is all there. I'm sorry, I told you before, I'm a Pentecostal country girl, so I say Holy Ghost. You can say Holy Spirit, and that's fine with me, but I say Holy Ghost. So as we get started tonight, I'm going to open up the floor. Maybe there's someone on the call tonight that feels like they're having those doubts right now of, did God really call me to stand? And it's okay. I want you to be vulnerable, because we're not here to attack anybody. Once again, we're here to hopefully maybe bring some light and some understanding to why you're going through what you're going through for as long as you've been going through it. So I'm going to be quiet for a minute. And actually, Sophia, I'm going to let you speak first, because I know you're very comfortable with speaking. And then after Sophia, if anybody else has anything, and then after that, Freddie, you feel free to jump in at any time that you want, okay? I'm going to go on mute, because I'm going to also need to wash my dishes while we're talking.
So I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor and, you know, give, you know, whoever on an opportunity to ask a question, kind of like what Lisa mentioned. Is there anybody who has a question or who would like to even ask myself or Freddie or Kalanda a question?
I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm going to be very honest. I'm very glad that we're speaking about this topic tonight. Ever since I started standing, it's been a roller coaster for me. Some days I start off really strong, and then there's other days that I hit the bottom of the pit, and I question, and I know it's wrong. You know, sometimes I even question our God, like, why am my family going through this? And I know from the very beginning when I first started my stand that I knew that God wanted me to stand for my marriage. But then there's days when I go through certain things with my husband that I think, God, are you trying to tell me not to do this anymore? Are you trying to protect us, like, and keep him away? So it's a constant battle. I would say almost every day I have a battle going on in my head and in my heart. You know, am I doing the right thing? Is this really what God wants me to do?
Wow. Well, thank you. I would love to respond to that. First of all, thank you, Lisa, Sophia, and Chris, for giving my wife and I another opportunity to share God's truth and his word to his people. You know, I'm deeply humbled every time I get an opportunity to tell the goodness of our God. And I want to thank you, woman of God, for being vulnerable enough to share. And you're not alone. The concerns, the same questions that you have, others have those same questions. You know, God, should I stand? Am I stupid for standing? I feel stupid. My friends say I'm stupid, you know, but I want to go to someone and, you know, and talk. But then if I tell them my business, then they'll use it against me. And all of a sudden, this thing becomes an idol before God. See, we're dealing with, we've been dealing with the fruit instead of the root. And so what I mean by that is we have the questions from the emotional scars, the pains, from our own journey, and then living under a roof with somebody that don't understand you, and you grow further apart the more you try or you think you're trying. And you wonder, why is this all in vain? What are we doing now? We played the silent game for so long. Now one of us got up, got enough boldness to walk away. Now my fairy tale has just been shattered. What do I do?
Right.
What do I do? Do I stand? Do I stay? Am I a fool? But the word says this. Well, when people ask me, I tell them I'm standing on the word. But deep down inside, you know, there are question marks. But to admit that may show a chink in your armor to other believers. Because after all, if you're not truly standing on the word, then you're not really a believer. Shame on you. See, we bruise each other in this process. And people can give you their advice and their opinions, but they'll mess you up. So I can't tell someone if God told you to stand or leave. But this is what the Spirit of God has laid upon my heart to tell you. I'm going to read a scripture. Psalms 103:7. And it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. See, this is about relationship and growth. God never said that that trials and tribulations wouldn't come. He said he'll deliver us out of them all. But we have to go deeper to the root of why we have those questions. See, when everything is going well in our lives, we have no reason to really pray every day, you know, worship, you know. We don't fast anymore because we're working. And at work, you know, they're bringing food, you're having potlucks. So, you know, you don't have time for that anymore. So we become distant from God until we have a shaking. And so in these shakings, we're looking at them wrong. See, Paul says, you know, it was good that I was afflicted. Well, why in the world would he say something like that? Because he reached a point of maturity, just like he said that Moses knew the ways of God and the children of Israel knew the acts of God. See, the children of Israel came from a place of bondage where they served other gods. They forgot about who the only true real God was. So sometimes for us as babes in Christ, God has to show us his acts, his miracles, you know, his healings, his deliverance, the raising of the dead to let us know he is still God. But God would rather you learn of him through relationship. And because of our human sinful nature, it keeps us from coming into relationship with our Father. Because the enemy knows if he could put a wedge in between us and the Father, then we won't come to understand who he truly is, to get revelation of who our God really is. See, God is not going to let you pimp him. And what I mean by that is, just like you're in a relationship, if you're only with that person for their money or for the sex or both or whatever have you, that person is going to feel used after a while. Now, every time I see you, you got your hand out. And so such as God, he doesn't want us to prostitute him. We only call upon him when we're in trouble. And God is greater than that. He is greater than you just call upon him just for, because you're in trouble. Every time you call up, that's the only time you talk to God is when you're in trouble. I was guilty of it. I pimped him, or I tried. But it's in that moment of when you don't hear it from God, when the bottom's falling out from your marriage, and you're crying out to God, and you're in that scary place where you feel depression creeping up on you, anxiety, worry. See, God allow you to sit in that place to let you know how it feels to live without him. You are remiss in your thinking if you can live in this earth and have an earthly experience without him. See, it's deeper than God. Why it seemed like he is everything going well with him. Me and the kids are struggling. He didn't buy a new car. Now you're making this into an idol. Now your hurt has turned to anger and hatred. It's not pleasing with God because you're looking at it wrong. Sometimes separation is a good thing. Sometimes God has to isolate us to bring us back to who he created us to be. This is what this is all about. This is part of the process, the journey. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it wants you sometimes you want to tap out. Sometimes you can't even talk to your friends. You can't even talk to your loved ones because they don't understand because you're tired of hearing them saying that you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
See, God will put you in a position where you have no choice but to come to him. And see, in that, when he shows you who he really is, then you begin to make sense of everything. And just like Moses, you'll grow into maturity because now your focus is not on him or her. You've come back centered. He's centered you now. Now you're pressing toward him. See, in the initial phase of my marriage when me and my wife separated, she was the catalyst to bringing us back together. By her, she stopped worrying about what I was doing and trying to talk to me and being angry at me, calling me, asking me for money just to see my face, want to hear my voice. But what he did, she removed the care and the concern from me to God. She started the process of healing herself. She sought spiritual counseling. And like I told you guys before, and when I used to come over to visit her and the kids, she would go upstairs in her room and she would read the Bible. And I felt a peace about her. She had a peace around her. It's because she stopped making me an idol in her life, and she went back to her first love. And see, here it is in this, when you're asking yourself, should I stay in the Gulf? If you have more questions, if you have too many questions, that means you don't have peace about your situation. So this is the time that you need to have God to work on you and to have him to show you. Do not worry about what's going on with him or her. Your only job is to worry about what's going on in your world, and you come into a place of wholeness and healing. And in that, he will lead and guide your steps. I'm gonna read another scripture in Romans 8:24-28. I want to show you something. All right, Romans 8:24-28 says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts, knowing the mind of the Spirit, is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." This is what the Spirit of God will confirm with you. Once you place your attention on him and you start healing yourself, remember the word says, forgetting those things that are behind us, we press. Every day is a pressing. But I'm going to tell you, there's an anointing in that pressing. The purpose for the pressing is to release the oil that is within you. Just like the lady with the alabaster box, when she came to anoint the feet of Jesus, a rare, potent oil that's fragrantful and expensive. He said there's a treasure hidden in earthen vessels. God's trying to reveal him in you, your purpose. He wants to bring you to a place of understanding, a place of wisdom. See, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. See, we read that too fast. Seek ye the kingdom, God's method, his way of doing things, and his righteousness, being in conformity with his will and order for our life. And all these things will be added unto us. See, so you don't have to go pursuing things. You don't have to pursue the relationship. You don't have to go pursue the bag. Everything that we need is in him. See, you have to come to a place of trusting. And sometimes that the revelation to understand who God is in order to trust him, you have to go through some shakings. God would always make you uncomfortable. He'll put you in an uncomfortable situation because what the devil has told you and fed you this your whole life is a lie. So the shaking is because your flesh is rebelling against what God has, who God has called you to be. Would you believe that I've always had a fear of public speaking? If you would have told me this time that I would be sharing words, oh, come on. I don't do this.
Neither do I, Freddie. I'm afraid of public speaking, too. So I'm with you.
See, and thank you. And I'm going to tell you, if God be for you, he's more than a whole
world. Who can be against you?
That's it. And see, this is the confidence that I have in him because, see, I tried it. I'm not telling you something that I've read in somebody's book. I've tried it through experience, and I found him faithful. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. My God is purposeful. Okay, he left you. Is he still not God? Is he still not God in your life because John walked out on you? Is he still not God because Mary walked out on you? Come on, man. In the book of Job lost his children, his things. Come on. And God eventually restored everything. He had more kids, more finances, more joy, more peace. He lived happily ever after. So this is only a comma for some people. This is a comma, meaning that, hey, God's not through. You still work on you. But for some of you, as you get closer to God, he'll let you know if this is not, hey, that person may be too toxic. You may not know what that person has planned for you down the line that God is trying to prevent. But only you will know that as you develop your relationship with him. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to lead and guide you into all truth. And the only way that you experience the faithfulness of God is sometimes through our shakings, through those trials, through those heartaches, through the pain. The pain isn't there to hurt you. It's to develop you. I know for some of you saying, you scratch your head, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. See, but in God's word, he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, he puts his supernatural on our natural. When we surrender ourselves to him totally, submit our will, our way, our mind, our intellect, our emotions, and we follow after him wholeheartedly. It's like taking a step off a cliff and knowing that God is going to catch you. This is the type of boldness and radicalness when it comes to having trust in God. To think that you're going to free fall. See, the devil will tell you, you're going to die, fool. If you step off this cliff, you're going to die. But God says, trust me. Trust me, walk. And you take a step and you're like, God, I don't know. And before you know it, God has carried, he's been carrying you in your hand. You thought you didn't even know you took the leap because your eyes was fixed on him. That's what he did for me. I didn't know I took the leap. And I was still nervous, but I trust him. See, sometimes you can still be nervous. You can still be shaky at the experience of going through that. But the difference is I had confidence in God that if he said it in his word, that he's faithful to perform it. So sometimes we'll go with shaking, trembling, but yet I go. I'm only able to speak because of who he showed me. He showed me myself in him. And when I saw that, it gives me another confidence. It gives me another ability. He makes me sound intelligent. He makes me sound smart. The Holy Spirit. It's not that I'm smart. It's just I have enough common sense to submit to his will and his way for my life. I got tired of making mistakes. I got tired of messing up my life, so I yielded myself to the Spirit. Because when Jesus left, he said, I'm sending you a helper. But yet we really don't rely on the Holy Spirit. We don't really know what the voice of God sounds like. I will tell you this. God will use your own voice, to let you know this. Your personality is mixed in with each person hears God's voice differently, but it's mixed with truth. And he's always going to refer back to his word when he's speaking with you. That's how you will know. You will know. My dad used to say like this, you will know in your knower when it's God, because he gives you a peace. Even if you fully don't understand at the moment, but when he tells you, because you know it from him, a peace comes over you. We've all felt that at one point in our lives, just the calmness of it. We don't know all the full answers. We may be praying about a light bill. God, if they don't turn my lights on, if I don't get the money for this, they don't turn my lights on. God, please help me. I don't know what to do. So God will throw us a freebie every once in a while to show us that he'll flex his muscles to show us that he's still God. And then you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I didn't know what I was going to do. And God, he pulled somebody's heart to give me $200. Now I can pay my light bill. And we're rejoicing. Then next week, forgot about God. See, we have to discipline ourselves to stay in his presence. And when you're praying, prayer is a dialogue. And so when you're praying to God, take some time to stop and listen, because sometimes closing your mouth and listening is the beginning of wisdom. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to speak to the Holy Spirit to you, because the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of our Father. He'll reveal to you the mysteries and things you need to know. And so now you won't have to go ask anyone, because he's going to give you a peace. He is going to give you instructions. He's going to bring somebody to confirm it. You might listen to a sermon, and you'll hear the voice of God in that. God speaks through many things. You just have to be attentive enough to hear. And so sometimes the pain of what we go through, the isolation, is important for us to get us to that point. That's why all things work together for the good of those. That's why that scripture ties into this, because this is where we are. It's time for us to be serious about this, our relationship with God. It's time for you to start searching the root and not focus on the forgotten fruit. Because in that, God always performs miracles in a place of madness. Now I understand it's no longer about how are you going to do it. I just know that you're going to do it, because now I'm mature. I know the ways of God because I spend time with him. And because I spend time with him, He opens up to me the mysteries. He allows me to see in the spirit, to see things, and to speak wisdom and understanding to his people. This is how good God is. It's always a message and a pain. But the enemy always wants to distract us because his job is to come. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But God said that he come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. This is who we serve. This is who we serve. I'm sorry to get carried away. Anybody have any questions?
To the person that asked the question earlier, did this help? Did this answer your question that you had? I don't know if she's still there. Anybody else have another question?
I do. My question is actually for Ms. Kalanda. My question is, when you reached that point of having peace, did you feel the desire to continue to pray? Or at that moment, were you just like, you know what, God is going to take care of it. I'm not even worried about that no more. Because I know in Scripture at one point it says pray without ceasing. And then at another place in Scripture it says when you pray, I don't want to misquote the Bible, but if I remember correctly, it talked about having a trust in God. So if like you had that, when you pray that one time, like what I think it was Hannah prayed to God at that one time when she was in the temple, and that was it. So I guess I wanted to know, because that's kind of how I've been feeling. Like I don't really feel the need to pray about it anymore, and I'm kind of over it. Not that I'm angry, not that I'm mad, not that I'm just like, oh, I prayed enough. God, you got the first 200 prayers. I prayed about it. What's next? I don't know if that's good, bad. I don't feel my heart being hardened. I just feel like I'm over it. So that's
I totally understand exactly where you're at, because initially when we first separated, what happened is I was kind of broken, heartbroken at first about it. So I prayed continuously, probably maybe the first 2-3 weeks I was praying every day nonstop. I felt so uneasy and I didn't have any peace just because everything that I was doing was consumed with making sure of what he was doing. So my life had kind of flipped from being a married person to a separated, headed toward divorce, still trying to go to work, still raise the kids, but then instantly I felt lost and I prayed all the time. But after God started dealing with me, the more I prayed, that was the more I felt, well, every single day it got a little better, but I didn't know that if this is from because he's not in the house with me anymore, or is this, you know, just because he's truly moved on and I'm accepting it. But it was God's way of getting my attention, and I knew I needed healing in my life, but I didn't know initially what I needed to do. So that's when I called a counselor. I think I asked around, and my sister referred me to a counselor. So that's when I started the counseling, and she would give me small assignments to do, scriptures to read. And the more I did that, the more life just got so much more peaceful for me. And then it became so peaceful to where he wasn't the factor anymore. It was more me, the factor with establishing in my relationship with God. So after... No, I didn't pray anymore after the initial shock, I guess, had wore off. I didn't pray after that. Once God started working on me, I didn't feel it was a need to, because I wasn't so much concentrating on getting back together. That wasn't my focus anymore. And when it became further out of my focus, that's when God was going behind the scenes working on him. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it did. Thank you.
You know, I want to piggyback off my wife. Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And so the enemy comes to steal our hope. Because if he steals our hope, he can nullify our faith. And so when these situations happen, he'll have you so consumed on the issue and the person till you're praying night and day without ceasing. You know, you feel like you're going to about to lose your mind. And so now your hope is feeling deferred because now it's 2 weeks that he's out of the house. Oh, now it's a month. Oh, now it's 2 months. Now you feel like God has disappointed you. I've been praying. I even sowed a seed, you know, just like the pastor said, I sowed a seed for the return of, you know, restoration of my marriage. And still, God, you said that. Now you're angry with the Father. You're angry now. You're angry at him. But see, now you're feeling the rejection. You're feeling the isolation. You're feeling how God feels when how we do him. Because we've been created to worship. We've been created for praise. God's his food, his portion is our worship. When you worship, you invite heaven into your arena because it's an offering, a sweet-smelling aroma to God. He gets excited when his children brings their offering of worship, the sacrifice of praise, the offering up of fruits from their mouth, giving thanks to our Father. That's where he desires it for us to be connected back to the vine. You can't make it without him. You can't, but you cannot allow the enemy to steal your hope. Do not put your hope in someone else. Put your hope in the Father. And he'll bring you to a point of wholeness and completion. And then he'll make all things new to you. And then he'll illuminate your path. And now you have understanding. You know what to do. You won't even have to ask. You'll know. Anybody else have any questions?
I have a question. Go ahead.
I had lost the call, so I wasn't able to add my input. But ever since I started standing, I feel in my heart it's the right thing to do. But I've lost a lot of family members because of my belief. And my family were all Christian. But because they see the pain I'm going through this, they get upset with me. And they, you know, they question me. They say, why are you doing this to yourself? Don't you love yourself? Why you see that your husband has moved on? Just let it go. And nobody, I have not found not one person, except for being on the RMM and, you know, these conference calls, no one understands it. And it's so hard because it's constant. People are saying I'm foolish. I look desperate. You're making a fool out of yourself. And it's very hard to hear that all the time.
I'm in the same boat. And the issue for me is along with that is I feel intellectually that I'm on the right track, but and I feel intellectually that I need to have peace, but I don't have the peace in my heart, which is part of the thing that I think others are responding to, along the lines of what the lady that spoke before me.
Wow. Thank you both for sharing. I want to say this. With family, even though it's hard, I say this. Don't take it personally. However, there is no other way you can take it sometimes from family than personal. But I'll say this because they're just doing what they think is right from the natural. If you know down in your knower that God told you to stand, that you really know, He will give you peace. Just like I told you guys earlier. If I'm sorry, at least I use the word guy. I'm sorry. I'm working on that. But if you are really seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness, we already know that's going to be taken care of. This is how you deal with your family. You'll stop telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason why they feel that way, because you invited them into your situation.
Yes.
And so we have to take ownership. For instance, my wife, and I'll let her speak on it in a little bit, she would tell her family members, venting. So we have to know the difference between venting and seeking counsel. And so we'll vent to family, and so we'll demonize their person, and then when we see them back together, now you're looking dumb. Now they're calling you a dummy. And now for holiday, you don't look forward going over the holidays because now you don't want to get in a conversation about it. And so God allowed those situations to happen so that you can turn to Him and start talking to Him. Mm-hmm. See, the Bible says casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We're not designed to hold that kind of stuff, and so we'll go to, and I understand the Bible says that there's safety in the multitude of counsel, but it has to be the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have people around you that are spiritually mature and understand, have discernment, not to just go along with everything that you do, but will tell you the truth in love. Because the scripture in the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of friends. Because if you really love me and you're really my friend, you'll tell me the truth even when I don't want to hear it. So you have to have you some real riders on your team, you know, to understand that. You know, and so now God has to reposition you from telling others your business. Now this is part of a relationship. And not just to go to God every time you got a problem, but now start telling Him your heart. Start asking Him to, hey, bind my wounds. I want to be whole again. I want to serve you. I want to know more about you, Father. This is the time that He'll bring you to a point of peace. If you don't have that peace right now in your situation, then I would tell you to stop. Don't take a step further until you hear from your Father. If you have to fast for it,
mm-hmm.
do what you have to do. But set your face like a flint and don't move until you hear from God. See, when you chase after God in that fashion, that excites Him. Now the pursuit is on. Now the courtship has begun. Now you're seeking Him. See, seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness. See, now you're seeking Him. And then now He's going to start showing you how to conduct yourself, how to do things, how to maneuver, what's the next steps. That's how trust is implemented in the relationship. So I'm touched. But I'm sorry, baby, if you want to speak, I'm sorry. Let's speak on from the perspective how you felt, you know.
So from my perspective, with and that was one thing I did a lot because it was painful. And when you're in pain, you're calling, you know, friends, you're calling family members. And in my case, my mother was one of the people who she would get on me. I would vent to her. She was probably the one person who told me the truth, and I couldn't even share with my husband that she had really told me the truth because I didn't want him using that, you know, as an excuse to have my mom getting on me all the time. But it was, she would get on me behind closed doors because sometimes it was things I did that was wrong. And I would be making a bad move, and she would get on me. But then my husband would think she never said anything to me that was, you know, trying to check me, but she did. But it was so many other family members. And when I say my family is large, my mom is one of, like, 13 siblings. So it's a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles, but out of all those people and seeing them on at holidays, my husband stopped going to holidays with me, and I was wondering why. And it was because he was frustrated. He knew what was being said. Because sometimes when we would talk occasionally, I would slip up and tell him what this person said, this, that, and the other. So then he was putting up his wall like, okay, well, that's another person I'm not going to talk to. That's another person. So it was things that I had said just not knowing, like he said earlier, just venting, just trying to share, you know, well, this is what happened, and this is why we didn't do this, or, you know, we didn't come to the Thanksgiving last year because of this, that, and the other. So they holding on to that and using that as ammunition. So that, what my husband said regarding you definitely can't depend on anybody as that buffer or as that person to just talk to and not expect that they won't have some judgment after the fact. The only person who won't have any judgment about our situation is our Father. And we go to God, our Father, and talk to him about it. I put it all out there, how you feel about that person. Talk to God. Well, one thing you'll know is your words are safe with him. And that's all I
Go ahead, Lisa. Well, just really quick, and I would like to add on to what Kalanda and Freddie said, and I have to agree with them. You know, one thing that I learned, obviously early on, like Kalanda said, we're hurting, so we're constantly looking to people, you know, to vent, and I learned early on that was the wrong thing to do. And at the end of the day, what God has showed me or taught me in this journey is exactly what Kalanda and Freddie said, take it to him. Anything that I have or I'm feeling or I'm any question or whatever it is, you know, I take it to him first. And I am, you know, for a while there, I was doing this by myself. And, of course, just like everybody else, you know, my family was telling me, oh, I got to let him go. You know, he's probably happy with this other person, this and that. But I know what my Father has called me to do. And I have felt and I feel that peace that Freddie is talking about. And at the end of the day, I'd rather look like a fool for Jesus than a fool for man. And I stopped sharing my stand or this or that with family members because you know what? They haven't been called to the same journey that you have called, so they won't understand. Unless they're faced with that trial, then they will know. So a lot of times when RMM teaches to zip the lip, it's, you know, we don't have to share everything with everybody. And one thing that I prayed for early on in my stand is for individuals, for God to bring people in my life that I could talk to that were going through the same thing that I have, you know, that I have been and going through. And the Lord blessed me, you know, with two strong individuals, Lisa and Chris. And I didn't know 6 months ago, back at the beginning of this year, that I would be part of these conference calls. So, you know, we have to ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment. And we have to know who we can and cannot share with. So that's what I've learned on my journey as somebody that's walking this with you guys. Lisa, did you want to add something?
Well, I was thinking as I was listening to everyone speak, I asked God real quickly, give me two people in the Bible. And Hannah came to mind. I heard someone mention Hannah earlier tonight. If you remember, Hannah was praying. She took her cares to God. If you all remember, she was crying out to the Lord, and her lips moved, but no words came out. But because the way her countenance was going forth, Eli thought that she was drunk, but she was of sorrow of heart. And so when he came to her, he came to Hannah, and he basically was just like, why are you drunk at this hour of the day or whatever? And she was like, hey, I'm not drunk. My heart is low. And so from that story, I learned that my countenance can put off to people or show people where my heart is. And especially for our family, if they see us in a low countenance at every event or whenever they talk to us, our voice is low, our spirit is down. Most of the time we're down. There are some times when we're upbeat, but most of the time when they see us, or even if they say to us, how are you doing, instead of us giving a response of faith, I'm great, God is good, or whatever you want to say, you know, but we take that as an invitation to proclaim all of our hurt, because we want to be soothed. We want to be comforted. So then I thought about the other woman in the Bible, and I don't remember her name. I don't even know if they gave her a name, but it was the woman who her and her son was about to die. They were going to eat the little bit of food that they had left, and then they were going to die. And when the prophet came to her, she told him what was going on. And because she vocalized this, and even in both cases, because they vocalized what was happening to the right person, to the person that came from God, they were able to receive that that deliverance that they needed, or the food that they needed, the provision that they needed, whatever they needed. They had gone to God. And I do believe in my heart of hearts that we are going to God, and we are crying out to the Father. But when we get up off of our knees, the pain is still there. And there's that we still feel abandoned. And I totally, totally, totally agree that we have to use wisdom. God will lead us to who it is we should be talking to. 9 times out of 10, I might even go as far as saying 10 times out of 10, it's not going to be that family member. Even if your family member is a preacher or evangelist or whatever title they may hold, because first and foremost, they're your family. And so that heart connection is right there. And so I will share this personal with you. When I was in Virginia, I was surrounded by my family. Thankfully, my family, they were trying their best to support me. But every so often, like you said, Kalanda, my mother might say, well, why do you believe God told you this? And just that one little phrase, the one little question would try to make me doubt what the Lord had said. She didn't mean anything. She just didn't want to see me and her granddaughter going off into this place of, you know, where I won't have any support, because I left Virginia with all of my support and came to Arizona with, like, nothing, no support. But once I got here, this is how good God is. And all along the way, I was praying, God, show me this, show me that. You make this happen. I'm trusting you, Father, and I'm learning to trust him more and more. I stopped calling my BFF all the time with everything. I could have called her a lot, but, you know, when I got here within a week of getting here, the Lord brought Prophetess Trigg into my life. And no matter what, she has always given me what thus saith the Lord, not what she wants me to do, but what God is leading her. And sometimes even when she didn't have it, I could hear from God myself, because I spent time just like you all are doing. I spent time in prayer. I spent time in fasting, but nothing else could take away the fact that I got that rhema word from the Lord. I know what God has told me. So nobody can say, going back to our subject tonight, did God call me to saying, yes, he did. And I don't need to go to anybody else and ask them, did God call me to stand, or do you think God called me to stand? I already know it in my heart of hearts. I know what the Lord has called me to do.
Amen.
And so when you're having those doubts of did God call me to stand, I'm not going to say, no, he did not call you to stand. What I am going to say is, like Freddie was saying earlier, that's an opportunity for you to say, Father, what lack I yet? What is it about our relationship that I'm not getting? Because I need to get stronger in you. I need to hear a rhema word from you, because the enemy is causing me to doubt what you've called me to do. So when these things come up now in my life, I've learned that it's an opportunity for me to figure out what it is that God is trying to tell me. I don't believe I have to be perfect, but some days it feels like that. Sophia and I had this conversation not too long ago. Some days we feel like we've got to be perfect, but we really don't. Jesus is perfect.
Amen.
We don't have to be perfect. He's already done everything. He just wants us to trust him. Really, simply put, he just really truly wants us to trust him no matter what we see. No matter what we feel, we got to know that we know that at the end of the day, I am trusting and seeking God first with all of my heart, regardless of whether this man comes back or not. Lord knows I would love for him to come back, but even if he doesn't, God, I'm going to continue to trust you and believe that I'm doing your will. So did God call me to stand? Yes. Did God call you to stand? What's your answer? You got to answer it for yourself. But I will say this. Look at the story of Hannah. Look at the story of the widow woman. These women, some carried it on their face. Some carried it in their countenance, their hurt, their pain. And so it was easy for others to be like, how you doing, baby? And I'm going to tell you, if you hear someone ask you, how are you doing, your first thought should be, this is a setup. It is a setup to get you to say, I'm still praying, or I'm still trusting, or whatever you say that lets them go in, and then they're going to go in for the kill. They don't mean to go in for the kill, but you just invited them in. So I try my best not to ask my standing sisters, how are you doing? Because I feel like that is a question that's that open-ended question that's going to once cause you to pour your heart out, and there's no reason for that. It's a setup question. The better question is, are you still trusting in God? If a person comes to you and says, are you still holding on, then you know that they're coming to you with the right intentions. They're coming to you because they want to be there and be that support and encourager for you. But if your friend is coming to you and she's like, how you doing today, or your mom, I don't know, my mother, well, man, she would set me up sometimes, and it's like, how's everybody? We're all great. I may have just got up from crying, but we're all good. So, and that from an emotional perspective, and if I need something, physical need something, like if I, you know, I can't think of anything right now, but if I really truly needed something, then I believe that we need to speak up and say, this is what I need. But if you come off at somebody with a pity party, they're going to join your pity party, and then they're going to take over and lead you. So there's an old song that says, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. Don't let him ride. Question, or maybe not a question, but a comment. I know we've reached the bottom of the hour again.
At least I would say this, that was a good word, woman of God. I give God, you know, praise. This happened all organically. when Lisa reached out to me, I wasn't prepared, but because the word is inside of me and I have a relationship with my Father, I don't put the pressure on myself anymore. The pressure is on the Holy Spirit. I'm just a yielded vessel, and you all are yielded vessels. And that's what he wants us to get to, where these miracles and things are happening. See, how could you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony if you haven't been through anything? How can you share the faithfulness of God restoring your marriage unless you go through a shaking?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you all, to leave with this thought. What would happen if I change my perspective? What would happen if I change my position on how the enemy has showed me this false narrative? This is an opportunity for God to reveal something in me. This is an opportunity to really see what I'm made of. I'm finally at a point in my life where I understand what Paul says, that it was good that I was afflicted, because in that affliction, he put his word inside of me. He showed me my purpose. He gave me understanding of my experiences, my trials, my setbacks. And it's because of that, I now know I have victory in manifestation. I have peace with God. And now I can proclaim his word boldly and unashamedly, because it's all about him. It's all about him. So, blessings. I speak blessings upon every voice that hears this tonight and those that will hear in the future. I speak God's peace that surpasses all understanding, which garrisons and mounts guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that the scales of your eyes will fall off your eyes, and your eyes will be enlightened to truth. God's word is truth. And I declare victory and manifestation as you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. He'll add all those things to you. Our God is purposeful. If he called you to it, he's faithful to bring you through it.
Mm-hmm.
So even as you sleep, lay down to sleep, I declare that God will redeem the time and that he will give his beloved sweet sleep. And I thank you that this seed that's planted in the hearts and minds of your people, dear God, that it will take root in their hearts and minds. And Father God, that you will stir them. You will call them back to you, to relationship, to koinonia. I declare right now, Father God, that the call back to worship is stronger than ever been before, Father God. You said in your word that your sheep hear your voice, and that of a stranger we will not hear. Father God, fine-tune our hearing. Make our hearts pliable to the direction of the Holy Spirit. As we become intimately acquainted with him through your word, Father God, I thank you that the Spirit of truth guides and leads your people, Father God. Unfold the mystery, Father God, the secret things. Give them, your people, direction, understanding. And also, Father God, bring them back to a place of a relationship with you. Genuine, heartfelt relationship. Falling in love with you. Make their hearts pliable. And give them that peace, Father God. I thank you right now. In the name of Yeshua.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Be blessed, everyone. There will be no call next Thursday.
stay safe and keep the Father first. In Jesus' name, thank you, Freddie and Kalanda, for your labor of love tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Likewise.
Good night.
Thank you.